the tabernacle and the temple, going past all these things into the presence of God himself. And that's our goal this morning, is to experience God. We're going to do a little study here. I had to go back because I told my wife, I said, we're going to be doing kind of what we believe. We're going to kind of go back into sort of a doctrinal of the Christian faith. And, you know, not everyone gets excited over doctrine. Yeah, I warn you, every once in a while I get sort of my nerdy geekiness going on here. This is it. We're going to go through and kind of look at, as Christians, what we believe. And talk the idea of doctrine and taking it and applying to our lives, because we live in a society where you've heard people say this, right? Well, I'm living my truth. Right? You ever heard someone say that? I'm living my truth. And you live your truth, I'll live my truth. The Bible says there's only one truth. Jesus says, I am the way, the truth, and the life. No man comes to the Father but by me. And so it's imperative for us to know what we believe and why we believe it. And this is a sure foundation in this world against all the lies. You know, we've lived in the last several years of this whole misinformation, disinformation, false information, fake news. But all these terms are being thrown all over the place. And what I've kind of realized is people use those terms meaning like, I don't like what you're saying. It's kind of, you know, people are like, wait a minute, what are you talking about? But how do you know what is true and what's not? What solid foundations do we have in our lives? You know, there used to be, we used to call it reality. There used to be things called, now I'm going to shock you all. And you're going to kind of age yourself and say, if you know what I'm talking about. There used to be a thing called common sense. Right? You've just aged yourself because, right? And what's called common sense is a common knowledge that we all understood to be true. Right? My mom, she put it kind of this way. She'd say, you know, you don't have enough sense to pound sand in a rat hole. Has anyone else heard that? You don't have enough sense to pound sand in a rat hole. I have no idea what she meant by that. But it's sort of a common sense. I worked at the mill up in LP, Louisiana Pacific, up in Houlton. And I was amazed at all the warning signs that were all over the place. OSHA, right? Occupational Safety and Health, would have signs all over. Scott, you guys must have this at the mill, right? All these warning signs everywhere. And I was just puzzled and perplexed. There is a chute that came down, that collected all the sawdust, and there, in here there was a little trap that would turn. It was these metal blades turning around. It was enclosed in this chute. So you have all the dust would come down and go down into a conveyor, and there's a drop down this much, and the conveyor belt was like this. So there's only like this much room. And that was all painted yellow, and a big sign says, do not put your hands in here. And I walked by that thinking, first of all, who would even think about putting their hands in there? Right? Now I'm thinking about it. But without the sign, I'm like, who? Because you would have to lay down, stop the conveyor belt, get in there and try to do one of these things to kind of get your hand up. I'm like, is that even possible? But there's a big sign that says, don't put your hands in here. So I worked there roughly, 5 years. About 3 years into it, all of a sudden the alarms go off. The place shuts down. What's going on? There was a new person who was working the line, and guess where they put their hands? They went in there, put their hand up in there, and that metal blade actually cut off all 4 fingers. Yeah. That's why you don't put your hand in there. And so around there, I realized that every sign in that place has a story of someone who did something. And even though it seems sort of common, right? It seems sort of ordinary knowledge. People still do it. And even in this case, there was a sign. There was a warning. There was all these things put in place. And yet, someone still did something foolish. I feel like that's our society today. We've kind of moved away from sort of the foundation of right and wrong. We've moved away a foundation of things that commonly held us together. We've moved beyond all of those things. And we've become fragmented. We've become lost. And there's dangers. You know, if you ignore the sign, don't put your hand in there. There are dangers. If we ignore the danger warning signs as a society of all these things in our lives, of the warnings God has given us, we ignore those things to our peril. And I think our society is living the consequences, the destructive consequences of shifting of what God said is true. So we're going to take it over the next couple of weeks, going through some of the doctrine that we believe as a church. I'm going to spring off of basically sort of the core, what makes a Christian, right? What do you have to believe to be a Christian? And so in here, we're going to start with this idea of the Scriptures. Because this becomes the source, a measure of all things. That we are a Bible-believing church. You want to get really fancy, you want to impress people in parties, you kind of toss out this term, sola scriptura. Can you read that? Okay. I didn't know how that would show up on the big screen. Sola scriptura. It's Latin. It just means by scripture alone. What it means is the Bible is our sole infallible source for the authority of Christian faith and practice. Really what it means at the end of the day says, you know what? We try to do what this says. If at the end of the day I disagree with the Bible, guess who's wrong? I am. That this becomes solely the final authority. Now it's interesting, we've got the idea of traditions, right? I'm not saying traditions are bad. Actually, traditions have been passed in through the church. We have traditions here. This morning you came here and we did announcements first, right? We sang a song. We prayed. We sang another song. We took prayer requests, we took up an offering, we sang another song, now we're in the sermon, and there'll be one more song after this, right? You come every week, guess what? That's going to be happening. And just in case you're not sure, we put in the bulletin all the things we did every day, right? You show up next week, guess what? We're going to do the same thing. Right? Chances are, you are sitting in the same pew you sat in last time you were here. Right? I mean, we're kind of wired that way. Right? I remember talking to a pastor, and he started a church from scratch. And I think deep down, every pastor kind of has a desire. Wouldn't it be great to start a church from scratch? You know, not worry about all the traditions of men, and you can do whatever you want. And so I asked him, I said, how does that feel to have that freedom? He goes, it's great for the first year, because after that, people are like, well, we didn't do that last year. Or we've always done it this way. We only did it once, but we've always, right? Because we're so innate to tradition. And there's nothing wrong with traditions. Traditions can be good. Right? We have family traditions. There's things that we do in our family. And those are all good things. But the problem sometimes with tradition, we're going to look at this in a little bit, is that sometimes traditions can override what the Bible says. And that becomes a dangerous thing. So the Bible now becomes our standard. So when we go through all of these doctrines, we're going to be going back to the Scriptures. And what does the Bible say about it? Right? Hopefully not my opinion. Now hopefully because we've always done this. Not because we've always believed it. But hopefully at the end of the day, we'll come back to say, this is what the Bible says. 2 Peter tells us, this is grace and peace be multiplied to you in the knowledge of God and of Jesus Christ our Lord. As His divine power has given us all things that pertain to life and godliness. Right? The Scriptures that have been passed down to us and in here contain how to live our lives. How to please God. How to live godly lives are all contained in those things. It's interesting, in John, Jesus says this, and truly, Jesus did many signs in the presence of the disciples, which were not written in this book. This is at the end of the book of John. And John writes this wonderful gospel, talking about some of the miracles that Jesus did. some in the sermons, as Jesus did. And at the end of this book, he turns around and says, look, there's many things that Jesus did that we haven't had even time to write. The world could not contain all that Jesus did while he was here on earth. But the things that are written for us, notice how it is, these things are written for us, that you may believe that Jesus is the Christ, the Son of God, and that believing you may have life in his name. But we are not left to flounder in this world, that Jesus is gone, and that's it. No, he has left us his word that we can apply, we can read, we can know of what he wants from us. John tells us this at the end of his life. He says, these things have I written to you who believe in the name of the Son of God, that you may know that you have eternal life, and that you may continue to believe in the name of the Son of God. That these things are written for us. And we are so spoiled. Right? I probably couldn't tell you how many Bibles I have at home. How many different translations. Right? I mean, we are so spoiled. There are people around the world who do not have the Word of God in their own language. And we pick over which translation is best, right? We can pick and choose. Right? Do I want fancy language? Do I want common, everyday language? Do I want it difficult? Do I want it easy? We are so spoiled. If we have a phone, we have access of so much information. And yet it is so neglected. Like I said, this year, really be a push. Get into the Scriptures. Get into the Word of God. These are passed on to us. Then in here, the Scriptures now becomes the standard by which we all carry out of what is true and what is not. Acts tells us about this group called the Bereans. The Apostle Paul had traveled through town. And he arrived, he was preaching to them. They didn't take his words for it. Look what happens. It says, and the brothers immediately sent Paul and Silas away by night to Berea. And when they arrived, they went to the synagogue of the Jews. These were more fair-minded than those of Thessalonica, in that they received the word with readiness, right? They heard the word, they received it. But what did they do with it? And they searched the Scriptures daily to find out whether these things are so. Right? You are here this morning and you guys are listening to me. I'm sorry. We got people who are online who listen to this, right? I always, you know, kind of joke around and I'm going to make a CD of all my sermons. And I'll label it Sermons to Sleep By. So you can't sleep at night. You just pop in one of the CDs, listen to one of my sermons, and it'll put you right out. Make a fortune. That's how I'm going to retire. Right? You guys are stuck here listening to me. And you know I'm such an expert at the English language. Right? I'm poetic in my tone. I'm angelic in my voice. Yeah. I remember as a kid, I worked at McDonald's. He's doing the drive-thru, right? Remember? And a lady came through and she goes, have you ever thought about doing radio? Right? She goes, have you thought about doing radio? And I was like, I was probably 17 years old, and I was like, damn it, that went right to my head. So I went home and I told Mom, this lady, she told me, she goes, I should be on radio. And she goes, oh, I always thought you had a real nasally voice. It's like, thanks, Mom. And then my brother pipes up and goes, yeah, because you got a face for radio. I'm like, thanks, brother. Yeah. So that's the encouragement I've had along my life, right? Always family's right there for you. But you're here listening to me. But I don't want you to go home and say, oh, I believe the Bible is God's word because the pastor told me so. Or we get into the Trinity. We talk about Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. We talk about the forgiveness of sins. I don't want you to go home saying, oh, the pastor told me so, therefore it's true. If that's the case, I've failed. The goal is for you to go home and say, hey, he showed me from the Scriptures, from God's word, that you can go and read it for yourself, that you can memorize it. The Bible says, your word have I hid in my heart, that I might not sin against thee. Thy word is a lamp unto my feet, and a light unto my path. My goal is to get you to fall in love with the word. Someone once said, it was, Pastor, sometimes you get so excited about the Bible. I was like, yes! You get it! Oh, what do you want to do? Go listen to a pastor who's not excited over the Bible?
Well, today we'll be in Genesis. Wowsy, wowsy, woo woo. Go home. Glad you came.
No. Folks, we hold the Word of God, the words of life. We hold the truth in our hands to seek out and to know and apply it. That's why we have Wednesday Bible study and we have Sunday school and we do Sunday night. To get you into the Word and get the Word into you. To search it out daily to find out if what we're saying is true. Because the danger comes in. We have religious leaders of Jesus' day. Right? We had the Sadducees who come in and who believed there wasn't a resurrection. They only believed part of the Old Testament. Right? They struggled and they confronted Jesus and they're like, well, you think you're so smart, Jesus? And they set up this thing and they say, look, you got a woman who's married to a man and they don't have a child and the husband dies and she marries again and he dies and they have no children, marry again. And it goes through and eventually when she dies, whose wife is she going to be in heaven? They go through this whole fanatical sort of idea of trying to trick him, right? Have you had people who come to you who aren't believers who try to belittle you because you believe the Bible? And they try to come up with these little tricky things, right? They say, if God's so powerful, can he make a rock so big he can't lift it? It's like, really? That people try to distort and take away from the authority of the Word of God. And in here, it leads them down a bad path. I think our society has gone down a wrong path because we've neglected God, we've neglected His Word. Believe it or not, you know in this country there used to be a time where, I remember this, going to school, and they started the day in prayer. Right? Now, I'm going to test this because according to Zuckerberg, he doesn't censor Facebook anymore. So I'll find this out whether or not I'll be taken off or not. But I remember a day when we'd go to school every morning, stand up and do the Pledge of Allegiance. And then have prayer for the day. And I was talking to one guy, he goes, I remember we had a class where they actually taught the Bible in school. Some of you are that old. And we've neglected it. We've taken away. Our churches today are filled with preachers who do not preach the Bible. Because it offends. It does not change. That's the wonderful thing about the Scriptures. It doesn't change. Because God doesn't change. We need to change to line ourselves up with it. And so Jesus goes through there and they're trying to trick him. And Jesus answered and said to them, you are mistaken. What? Not knowing the Scriptures. Lately I've been feeling like pretty much of a genius. We've been watching Jeopardy. We've gotten old. We have. I'll go to McDonald's, I'll order a filet of fish. That's an old people's food. We've been watching Wheel of Fortune and Jeopardy. Somehow I have a hankering in my soul to see if I can find Lawrence Welk somewhere. I don't know. That's a whole different thing. But we're getting older. But Jeopardy, I love it now because they'll have categories of the Bible. And they'll go through this category of the Bible and you have these geniuses who know every other category, and yet when it comes to the Bible, they know nothing. And I'm like, hey, I know that one. Ooh, I know that one. Oh, I got that one wrong. My daughter's like, Dad, you're the preacher. You're getting that one wrong. Yeah, I was like, thanks. I'm full of encouragement, you know. Pray for me. This is always me. But so many people do not understand the Scriptures, and because of that, their lives are shipwrecked. And the Sadducees, the religious leaders, were falling into error because they did not know the Word of God. So the Sadducees deny the Word of God. You had the Pharisees who were so self-righteous, and yet Jesus accuses them of breaking God's Word by their traditions. Remember I said tradition isn't necessarily bad. But the question is, what trumps? Tradition or the Scriptures? And it's always the Scriptures. And I kind of cringe because there are religions who uphold the traditions of men over the Scriptures. And it leads them to errors. And that's what Jesus says. Look, in verse 3, he says, and he answered and said to them, why do you also transgress the commandment of God because of your traditions? To take God's words and do it as the standard of all things. So this is kind of a way of introduction, because next week we're going to get into some of the doctrines and some of the beliefs that we hold. As Christians, we should rally around. As we do that, time and time again, I will go back to Scripture. I remember someone made a comment once to me, goes, you know, Pastor, you use too much of the Bible. You know, if you go down through, and actually, I don't know if you counted how many verses I go through, I tend to use a little bit of the Bible. And I took that as a compliment. I think they meant it as an insult, but I take that as a compliment. Because it's not the philosophy of the men, it's not the church fathers, it's not the great preachers. That's those things aren't going to change people's lives. It's the Word of God that promised not to return void. Not that we don't use those things, but we've got to be careful. Scripture is the sole authority. Scripture tells us all Scripture is given by inspiration of God and is profitable for doctrine, for reproof, for correction, and for instruction in righteousness. That the man of God may be complete, thoroughly equipped for every good work. I love this because in here it talks about that doctrine, reproof, correction, and instruction. Right? We talked about this a little bit in Sunday school this morning. If you missed it, next week we'll be meeting, okay? 9 o'clock next door. But all Scripture is given by inspiration of God. It's God-breathed. We have God's message to us today. And in here is profitable for what? Doctrine. For what is true. For reproof of what's not true. Man, just do those two aspects of it. When we hear what's going on today, and the politics, and all the talking heads, and all these going on, what we should be doing is comparing it to Scripture. What does God say? And it's amazing, it'll show us what is right, what is wrong. For correction, right? So if we're wrong, how to fix it? Right? How do I get my life back on track? How do I become the husband I need to be? How do I become the father I need to be? How do I become the pastor I need to be? All these things are contained in God's Word. Tell me how to correct my life. And the instruction of righteousness is how to keep upright. The Word of God is complete. He has given us all that we need. Do we heed it? Do we seek it? Do we apply it? It is the Scriptures. Now, it's interesting, we talk about the idea here of how do I know this is true? And we got the Old Testament, and there's not a whole lot of discussion on the Old Testament canon. Canon means sort of the rule, right? The complete Old Testament. And then we get into the New Testament, Matthew, Mark, Luke, John, right? Continue on the New Testament of these things. How do I know that is true? I was watching a video the other day, and a gentleman's like, well, you know, the Bible really wasn't put together. You know, it was put together by Constantine in 325. And so it was like 300-some years later that man created the Bible. And I would say what Jesus says, you err not knowing the Scriptures. You err. Because that's not true. It's interesting, as the New Testament came out, we have the Gospels written and were being passed around. Now, it's interesting because the early church was under deep persecution. We're so spoiled in this country. You know, we can gather here this morning, and I'm not for fear of my life. You know, I thought a few times I'd be shut down, and I wouldn't be surprised if within my lifetime I might end up in prison for preaching what I preach. But overall, folks, we have it really easy as Christians. You know, someone might unfriend you on Facebook. But throughout history, people have died for their faith. And so as these letters were written, as Paul was writing letters, as Peter was writing letters, as the Gospels were written and being distributed about, They're copied by hand. It's amazing. You know, we have over 4,000 pieces and parts of the scriptures that date back to the earliest times. That people were desperate for God's word and copied it and passed it on. Some of them are just fragments because people read them so much that they wore them out. And I always find it so amazing, because shame on us, because sometimes our Bible just wears out from lack of use. Just the dust piles up on it. Imagine him being in the Word so much that your pages just wear out because you've touched them so much. And so for the first 300 years of the church, you could be killed for having a copy of the page of the Scriptures. So it is amazing how it spread, even though underground, all throughout that part of the world. That today we still have fragments of it as people were copying them around. And in here, they understood that these words were Scripture. And I want to point out just a couple little things. This is kind of nerdy, so I warn you. All right? So some of you can take a little nap now if you want. Some of you are interested in this. But this is something that's really kind of cool. Because the Scripture itself points to Scripture itself as being true. One of the passages I want to point you to. Like I said, this is kind of cool. You've got to think, man, Pastor, you're such a geek. I'm like, thank you. All right. In 1 Timothy chapter 5. Paul is writing here, and Paul is writing to this young man, Timothy. In this letter, this is what he says, let the elders who rule well be counted worthy of double honor. And here's the question of whether or not pastors should be paid. All right, that's not what we're looking at here, even though it's not a bad idea. Especially those who labor in the word and doctrine. So Paul is making a case. They say, hey, you know what, the question is, should we be able to pay our pastors? And the answer is yes. And what he points to, he refers to two pieces of Scripture here. First one, he says, for Scripture says, so Paul says, this is what Scripture, right? First one says, you shall not muzzle the ox while it treads out the grain. So think of your pastor as an ox. I don't know how to take that. And the second one says, the laborer is worthy of his wages. So in order for Paul, the proof text, what he says, he points to two pieces of Scripture. And he uses that word Scripture. This is the cool part. Because the first part is out of the book of Deuteronomy, right? The Old Testament. Because there's really not a whole lot of dispute about that being the Scriptures. And Deuteronomy 25 verse 4 says, you should not muzzle an ox while it treads out the grain. Right? So in here you got an animal, you know, as it's working, let it eat. All right? The second part says a laborer is worthy of his wages. Do you know where that's from? Paul is quoting the book of Luke, the Gospel of Luke. In Luke chapter 10, verse 4, it says, when he sends out his disciples, he says, remain in the same house, eating and drinking, such a thing as they give. Right? So this, he sends out his disciples, and he says, okay, you come to a house, and they let you in, eat what they give you, right? And in here he says, for a laborer is worthy of his wages, and do not go from house to house. Here it is, the Apostle Paul is calling the Gospel of Luke Scripture as that's being passed around. I think that's cool. It's interesting because Matthew, Mark, Luke, John, the Gospels being written pretty early on. Each one is tied to an apostle. Matthew is the apostle, right, was the disciple, Matthew. Mark actually wrote on behalf of Peter that in here, Luke is a companion to Paul, and he wrote Luke and Acts. And, of course, John is the apostle. So each one of the Gospels has the authority of apostle behind it, and they're being circulated in the early church. And so much so that when Paul wrote 1 Timothy, in here he referred to the Gospel of Luke that was being passed around, and he calls it Scripture. I think that's cool. For Scripture says. So already we have the New Testament being approved of as Scripture on par with the Old Testament. We can trust what we have. Second one here. In 2 Peter, the Apostle Peter, right? St. Peter is writing this. He says, and consider the long-suffering of our Lord is salvation, as also our beloved brother Paul. Who's he talking about? the Apostle Paul, according to the wisdom given to him, has written to you, as also in his epistles, speaking in them of things which are some things hard to understand. Ain't that the truth? Right? The Apostle Paul, you read his epistles, and sometimes they are hard to understand. But notice what he says here. Which untaught and unstable people twist to their own destruction. Right? So if people are taking Paul's words and twisting them. And what's it say? As they also do what? The rest of Scripture. Peter is referring to Paul's writings as Scripture. I think that's neat. Now, kind of on a tidbit a little bit here. When 2 Peter was written, right around AD 64 to 68, the dates of Paul's letters, if you take a look here, and all these letters are written by Paul, almost all of them were in circulation by the time Peter wrote his letter. It's possible all of them were in circulation. So Peter is potentially saying all of Paul's writings is Scripture. That's neat. We have Paul, who's pointing to Luke, talking to the Gospels as Scripture. Peter is pointing to Paul's writings as Scripture. The only exception maybe would be 2 Timothy or Titus, which was written later on. But within the Scriptures itself, it points to itself. It's interesting, we can point and use Scripture to point to Scripture to verify itself. It is reliable and trustworthy. In here, the Scriptures, right, is the standard. Right? The Scriptures are the Scriptures. It is what God has left for us. It is for our building up of our faith. Then in here, it defines what Orthodox Christianity is. The commonly accepted, what is true and what's not. That in here, we can rule out false teachings by the Word of God. And that's part of what we're going to do as we get into talking about these doctrines. Ephesians tells us, says, now therefore you are no longer strangers or foreigners, but fellow citizens with the saints and members of the household of God, having been built on the foundation of the apostles and the prophets. That in here, we are built upon the foundation of Jesus Christ. But on that, we have the Old Testament prophets, and then we have the New Testament apostles. We have that all today. We have the Old Testament, we have the New Testament. This is what we can build our life upon, what is true and what is not. Paul told the Thessalonians, says, therefore, stand fast and hold the traditions which you were taught, whether by the word or by our epistles. Epistle just means letters. So we have all these things in our lives that in here, the Bible now becomes the standard of all that we believe. Then in here, we have the Reformation because the church had become corrupt. The traditions of men had superseded what the Scripture says. And so in here, the Protestant protested, broke away, and what they did was they compared what the church did to the Word of God. And in here we have this term called faith. I'm going to just go through this real quick and then you guys can go home and enjoy your warm day. But in here, the Scripture talks about the faith. You know, not just faith, like I believe in God, but it uses this term, the faith. The word the faith refers to sort of the doctrines that were established. We see this laid out in Acts chapter 6. It says that many of the priests became obedient to what? To the faith. Acts 14. Encouraged him to continue what? In the faith. Paul tells Timothy to hold the mystery of the faith. We are called to beliefs. We are called to doctrine. We are called to truth. And we are told to hang on to these things. Continues on. 2 Timothy. At the end of Paul's life, as he knows death is soon, he turns around, I have finished the race, I have what? Kept the faith. Paul says, I have been true to the teachings and beliefs that's laid out in the Scriptures. Jude says, beloved, although I was very eager to write to you about our common salvation, I found it necessary to write appealing you to contend for what? The faith. You know, people are saying, oh, you know, what difference does doctrine make? It makes all the difference in the world. Do I believe the word of God? Do I hold the faith? Jude continues on, says, but you, beloved, build yourself up in your most holy faith. Why do you believe what you believe? How do you know what you believe is true? And so in way of introduction, I just want to encourage you, as we go through, our goal is to go to the scriptures and seek out what the Bible says and build our lives on it. And I want to talk about sort of the key aspects of the faith. Why does this matter? First of all, is an objective truth. A truth handed down by Christ and the apostles, right? We contend for the faith that was once delivered to the saints. I love that because the scriptures have been handed down, right? We have the word of God. All that we need is written here. Beware if anyone has a, hey, you know what? I have something new. I have a new writing. I have a new inspiration. I have something, right? Be careful of that. Notice what it says here. Our faith, the truth, has been handed down to us, what? Once for all. Now, in here, there may be some we explore. We have better understandings of some doctrines. But the question is, not that I can find something that's outside of this, the question is get into this more and more. So in here, it gives us an objective truth. It's not your truth, not my truth, but it is God's truth. Second one, for personal trust. A believer's response to these truths involved in faith in God, loyalty to Christ, and steadfastness in trials. I have kept the faith. The doctrine, the truth of the scriptures, gives us something to hang on to, something to live for. I think we turn around, especially today, we have a lot of our young people are jumping into sort of this environmentalism, right? Let's save the planet. It's amazing the things that they're willing to give up to save the planet, right? Because there's a purpose and there's a cause. Now, I think some of that is misguided. But I think there's something within us that seeks out, that longs for something to hang on to, something to live for, a purpose. And the scripture gives us that. A banner we can fly over our hearts. Doctrine or the faith unifies the believers. It is a shared truth that unites the church across time and space. You know, I took a mission trip down in Ecuador. And always ever since we've been down there, we worship with believers in a language I did not understand, but their love for the Lord was so clear. And I can't help it. Every Sunday now, when it's 11 o'clock, I'm thinking, you know what? There are believers right now who are gathering in Ecuador praising God. When I watch the news and hear about Christians who are being persecuted in China, my heart goes out because we are united together under one faith, one belief. Over time, that we have today, we are carried on the traditions and faith has been carried on for generations since Christ left 2,000 years ago. Now think about this. I heard the gospel for someone who heard the gospel, for someone who heard the gospel, who someone who heard the gospel, who's heard, right? And you can go back and back and back, all until you get to the apostles who heard it from Jesus. All of us have heard because of that chain of custody of the gospel truth that goes back 2,000 years. That is neat. And it's our turn, surrounded by such a great cloud of witnesses, Romans 12 tells us. Now it's our turn to run the race. And if the Lord tarries and doesn't come back in our lifetime, we will pass that on to the next generation. The truth that were given to us. And it unites us together. And the last one, it gives us moral and spiritual commitments. But the scripture tells us how to live our lives. My heart breaks for this young generation because we've given them no guidance. You can do whatever you want, however you want, whenever you want. You can be whatever you want. And I think our children are in a state of confusion. I think there's a lot of young people who are in a state, actually, this, you know what? There's a lot of people in state of confusion today. Because the Bible says there is a way to life. There's a way that leads to life. There's a way that leads to death. And Lord, help me find the path of light. Thy word is a lamp unto my feet and a light unto my path. Lord, help me to follow you. Help me apply your word to my life. And there's life in that. But woe to those who wander from it. Because destruction is along the way. And it leads to destruction and death at the end. So why is doctrine important? Pastor, why do you get excited over this? Because it is the word of truth. God's word will not return void. My words can be so empty. My words will fail. But Jesus never fails. Let us seek out truth. Be people of the truth. And cling to that. Because that's Jesus. Jesus says, I am the way, the truth, and the life. No man comes unto the Father but by me. Many left Jesus in his day. And he turned to the disciples. He says, are you going to leave as well? He says, no. Who else has the words of life? Folks, we are given the words of life. Let's dig into it. Let's see what it has. Let's follow it. Let's pray. Our Heavenly Father, we thank you for your word. Your word is truth. Lord, it is a lamp unto our feet, a light unto our path. Lord, help us follow it. Lord, as we go into this study, Lord, may we be excited over the truth that are contained within. Lord, we will see you. You will be revealed. We'll have your relationship to us revealed, your love and your patience. Lord, as we search out you in the word, Lord, reveal yourself. Draw near to us, Lord. And may we draw near to you. Lord, we ask this in your name. Amen. When we stand